Hello and welcome to episode 39 of Speak Beastie for June 18th, 2017. I'm Shannon.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Michael.
We nailed that.
Look at this lovely set that we've got here for this episode.
Man, how long has it been since we were on, Ariel?
Since you and I were on, or since...
I haven't been on with either of you for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been on in a while, period. Like, I think it's been over a month.
Where'd you go? I'm glad you're here.
No, I mean, first I graduated, and then I was in the hospital, and then I was on vacation. In that order. So, you know, ups and downs.
My goodness. Shannon, where were you?
I was at work, but I don't have that job anymore.
Yeah.
So. I worked until like 9, and then I got home at 10. I think the last episode I was on was in April.
That can't be true. That's not true.
No, I was...
Oh, it's only June. That might be true.
Yeah.
That could be true.
But I
think, honestly, the last episode I was on, we were talking about Jude Law.
Yeah, I remember that episode. I was there for that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
oh yeah.
Y'all know how I feel.
But now we're all back.
Yeah.
Everyone's back.
Guess who's back?
Mostly the three of us right now, but
yeah,
everybody else didn't leave.
That was such a fun night, though, when we all hung out for Shannon's birthday.
Yeah.
Meeting for the first time. Just so much of the MuggleNet crew all together. It's like, you know, we should have an event.
A big table.
Yeah, we should totally have an event where we all come together at an awesome place and just hang out. Oh my gosh, wait.
What?
Hold on.
What if it was the same place, Aaron?
What if we did it on September 1st because it's 19 years later and then we got a bunch of cool guests there and then, I mean, we're all going to be there so we could like do a Speak Beastie meetup with like all the cool people.
What kind of guests?
I mean, like people from the movies? Like,
you got anyone specific in mind?
I'm thinking some hot people. Some very attractive people.
Oh, well, now they're definitely not coming.
She's talking about us, listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're there. We're going to have Young Tom Riddle from Chamber of Secrets, Christian Coulson. Of course, we're going to have Luke Youngblood.
That's all that matters.
Lee Jordan, who, unfortunately, we never got to see as much of as I would have liked. Like, I wanted to see Lee Jordan and the twins just...
Oh, yeah. And we know Luke Youngblood is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he's on Community and Galavant.
Oh, I loved him in Galavant.
And we have, like, most of the crew of Harry's children from the film.
True.
So they're all going to be there. Maybe we can get them to reenact the scene.
Yeah. Michael can be reading from the book. Yeah.
Because I will be dressed as 19 years later Harry. So, I said it at On Aloha Mora that I would be in my Hufflepuff uniform, but I was like, oh no, that's wrong. I'm going to be in my 19 years later Harry costume.
So. Yo, I'm going with my sister. We could totally be Queenie and Tina. Like,
ooh,
I want to do it.
Should we maybe say the name of this event?
Yes. So
it's MuggleNet Live.
Yes.
19 years later.
At the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Universal Studios in Orlando. So
yeah, don't go to the one in California.
Yeah. No.
We won't be there.
And if you want to see any of us there, we will be there. I will be stuffing my face with food, possibly dressed up as Queenie. Free food. So much free food. Free, like, unlimited butterbeer all night. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I might pass out from all the sugar and food, but, you know, It'll be worth it.
I'll probably be lingering around the train station giving people Harry Potter hugs. doing more Harry Potter photo shoots. Because I love doing that. I love reenacting scenes from the movies. So come give me a hug at train station at platform 9¾.
I will come running up to you, giving you a hug, like holding a butterbeer and like a handful of food. I'm basically going to be Ron at, at this event. I'm just going to be shoving as much food in my mouth as possible.
Shannon, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'll probably, what am I going to cosplay? I haven't thought of this.
Oh, Shannon.
I know that should be the first thing that I think of. I'll probably just be Newt.
You should be Sasquatch.
Oh my god. No, I can't do that. That's your thing.
Well, then you can be the Augury. Oh my god, please be the Augury. Ooh. That would be a beautiful...
Maybe.
Do it. That's for amazing. Me.
You know what we should do? We should get a Sasquatch stuffed animal and hide it around the event.
They have, where are Sasquatch stuffed animals? Because I want one now.
Sasquatch hunt.
Yeah, Sasquatch hunt with Speak Beastie.
Yeah,
you read it here first, folks. Don't take that as a promise that we'll do it.
First, we have to find a Sasquatch stuffed animal, and
But where can they go to find more information on the event?
Yeah, just
MuggleNutLive.com.
Please be sure to get your tickets while they're still around, because this is not an event you want to miss. You get free reign of the park after hours, which I've done twice before.
Sweet. And
it's magical. It's so much more magical at night. It's amazing. I love it. And
well, and I've been saying too that this is one of those situations where, since this is like, you know, hardcore Harry Potter fans, there ain't gonna be no tourists in their Hawaiian shirts and shorts walking around being like, what is this, the Harry Potter land? Like, no, you're not gonna hear that. You're gonna be hearing a bunch of people, like 20 30 somethings, running around with pretend British accents in their full like Hogwarts robes, fully committing to the evening. It'll be like a much more immersive experience, and a lot of the shops, the experiences, the rides, the restaurants will be open and available for you to access during the evening. You know, the dragon will be lighting up. You can get a wand at Ollivander's. You can go have some food at the Leaky Cauldron. You can ride the Gringotts ride.
Pictures with all the guests.
So lots of cool opportunities. Yeah, there's special ticket opportunities where you can actually ride the Hogwarts Express with some of our special guests. You could ride the Hogwarts Express with young, hot Tom Riddle.
I like that.
Wouldn't we all be so lucky?
And now a message from our sponsors. Hey you! Yes, you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint. Just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now, for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com, and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
And now for the Phoenix Register.
Wow, you did a lot to make that sound different. I heard that.
I tried to not make it sound too different.
And that was distinctly different. You like put in a pause, and you
made it sound more serious.
I was like, and now for what?
And now,
it had to sound as serious as I'm making it, because we got
a new era has begun.
Softly plays "End of an Era" in the background. Well, we only have two bits of news, and they're pretty big. Pretty good.
Yeah.
The script.
Pretty big.
Yeah. The script for the second Fantastic Beasts film has been completed. This happened quite a while back, but we haven't covered this, so I thought, you know, the people needed to know. J.K. Rowling tweeted about it, and filming is actually supposed to start this summer, which could mean almost any day now since it is June. So that's really exciting. And speaking of filming, they actually sent out a casting call for quite a few characters that apparently will appear in the second Fantastic Beasts film. Some of them we kind of can expect. Young Newt, young Grindelwald, young Dumbledore. There's this new character named Sebastian, which I personally am excited about. We're also going to be seeing a young Leda. When this news came out, they were asking people to, you know, send in their applications. It's still going until June 20th, but, you know, you don't want to hold off on that. They could likely close it any day. They say no acting experience is required, but if you are international, you must be eligible to work in the UK. So you have to have a UK, Irish, or EU passport. So if any of our listeners get into the movies as a result of us delivering this news, I kind of feel like you got to be on the show and you got to tell us a thing or two. Like,
yeah,
that's, you know, that's also all we're asking for.
Also get us into the movie.
Yeah, that too, you know.
You know, I want to play Sebastian. Because he's new, and he's the only person I can play. Because I don't know anything about him.
I think you're too old.
Hey. I can,
if he shaved his facial hair, he could pass.
I will shave my facial hair. I will sneak on in there. I still want to play that talking polar bear that I was determined to be in the movie.
Oh my God. There's still time for talking polar bear.
Yeah, Pottermore. Put out the casting call for a voiceover role for that talking polar bear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
I don't know. See, I'm focusing on the wrong thing. If I want to be a talking polar bear, the BBC is adapting The Golden Compass, so I should be I should be waving over at them. I can guaranteed talking polar bear. But
yes.
Yeah, no, this is not terribly surprising. We were pretty sure we were going to see some stuff from the past. So
I wonder how much we'll see.
Yeah, I think I was speaking with someone about it, and they were under the impression, like, the next, you know, granted it may have been Steven. He was under the impression that the whole next movie was just going to be all, like, young.
The past.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, no. I don't get the sense. Like, I think it's just flashbacks and stuff. I don't think it's going to be the whole movie, because we would have started from that point. Like, it'd be weird to, you know, like, I don't know. It'd be weird to do the whole first movie as it was and then go back to the
completely. I wonder if it'll be flashbacks, like some of the flashbacks in the movies where it's like they barely talk, like the whole Snape's memories things that go by really fast, or if it'll be like, you know, the scene with young Tom Riddle where it was like a full scene.
Yeah.
Well, and then like, will it be them just remembering, or will there be a reason? Like, will they go into a pensieve or something to trigger these flashbacks?
Because I feel like some of the memories that you just talked about, because of like the pensieve, that's why they were kind of, there weren't any real words being exchanged. And they did delete that one
scene.
Yeah, it was
like a style.
Yeah. So I know with Tom Riddle, that was different because Harry went through the book and it wasn't so much. I don't know. I think it'd be more like that. And I always liked how they did that because it was in black and white and Harry's just walking around in color.
Just kind of course, they could always have the flashbacks be through Queenie reading people's minds.
Interesting.
And then it'd be like from Queenie's point of view.
I feel since Yates is the director, we're probably going to get something closer to what we saw in the later movies. It's going to be something like, I think you're right, Shannon, that there's an opportunity to make it different if they use Queenie to do the memories. But yeah. If they use, like, and we got a little taste of memories in the first one with the weird death potion.
Yeah.
That kind of worked like a pensive in some ways. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't too far gone from Yates's previous versions of memory stuff. So I'm,
but it also depends because Joe is writing the script.
Yeah, but yeah. Yates don't care.
But like, yeah, but I mean, like, if she writes it as a full scene, then it'll be a full
He can't
scene.
Just gloss over. He can't, just,
he
like,
can't be like, nope, we're going to do these like flashing images thing because that's what yeah. I don't like.
Well, he could. If
I mean,
if him and Haman are cutting things as much as we've heard recently that they had to. It sounds like to me from what I'm hearing now is that Yates really wants to keep everything that Rowling has in, but he sees the benefits of cutting things, whereas Haman is really much bigger on trimming things to yeah. tell a story more succinctly. And that's,
which makes sense for a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the problem kind of where I think that's the clash where Rowling's writing comes up against script writing is her style of writing is almost in a way done a disservice by film because mm-hmm. she's just so detailed and she writes a lot about from the character's kind of thought perspectives, not their dialogue. She doesn't depend a lot on dialogue to mm-hmm. convey things. So, and that's completely the opposite of film. You have to take, it's hard to take that and transfer that to visuals. So as far as the memories go, yeah, they could be more thorough things or they could just be really quick. I mean, gosh, you know, they made such a big deal of casting for all of the memories in the Harry Potter movies. And what did they do with
yeah.
them? Not that much.
Exactly.
So we'll see. But the interesting thing, too, with this is that with Newt and Leta, ostensibly, that means that we are going to see Hogwarts in their Ooh. Time. And that also brings up the whole thing of, well, visually, then, is the expectation that Hogwarts is going to be movie Hogwarts?
Yeah.
So where the movie visuals and the book canon are finally going to like kind of clash and explode because they very carefully avoided that in the first movie.
Yeah, well, it's like we were talking about now you have a young Dumbledore. How much is he mm-hmm. going to be like Michael Gambon or?
Well, yeah. And if we're looking at young Grindelwald. Is he going to look like Jamie Campbell Bowers, young Grindelwald? Or is he
going to
be
Not if he
different?
Turns into Johnny Depp.
So
yeah, because it says like the young Dumbledore and Grindelwald they're casting are 16 to 18, which would be about what Jamie Campbell Bower was supposed to be. Although, of course, you know, we were just talking about young Tom Riddle, Christian Coulson earlier, but in Half-Blood Prince, it was a different actor for Tom Riddle about the same time.
Which was silly because if you come to MuggleNet Live listeners and you see him up close, you'll be like, wow, he looks exactly the same.
Yeah. So. I always thought that was weird. It was very jarring because I was like, who's this supposed to be? And I'm like, oh, right.
Well, especially
like, they
when
changed
you think
his
of,
hair
like,
and everything. I was just
Yeah, they didn't even stylistically make him look like Christian Coulson. Which is funny because then you got like Shirley Henderson in her like late 30s playing Moaning Myrtle. Nobody batted an eye about that.
Yeah, right? So.
I feel bad that I don't remember the second actor's name.
I can't think of his name either. And I'm like, he's on Fear the Walking Dead. And I watched that and I'm just totally blinking.
I want to be like,
Frank Delane.
You know, he didn't do a bad
Frank
job.
Delane,
just came to me.
Yes.
Didn't have to look it up.
He was very creepy.
Oh, yeah. He was very good in the role.
He's a good actor. I'm not hating on him.
But Christian Coulson.
Or anything. Just for continuity reasons. Like, this is one of the disadvantages of them doing the films before the books had even finished. Mm-hmm. Is they didn't know what to plan for. And casting and all of that was all over the place at times because of that. So
It's pretty cool that they still do the... I really like, though, that there's this kind of tradition in the Harry Potter films of putting out open casting calls for the younger actors, mm-hmm. though. It's nice that they're still doing that. They don't have to. Like, they could really... They could really take that in another direction, but that's really neat that they're opening it up to pretty... They're really trying to find new talent. I mean, the other thing... That's the other thing, too, I was thinking with that is
I wish they'd done that for Grindelwald, but, you know.
Well, and that's why I was hoping they do use these actors well, because they made such a big thing out of Modesty for the first movie, and she really didn't have much of a role. She was a red herring, was her whole piece, and she didn't have a lot of dialogue. And she wasn't, in the end, she was a red herring. She wasn't necessarily integral to the plot. So, and I think we've heard that she's going to be back, maybe, possibly. So there might be more to her. But at the same time, it's like, well, they made a big hoopla about her, and then they didn't really do anything with her. So hopefully that's not the case here.
If you want to find any more of Fantastic Beasts news, you can head over to MuggleNet.com and look up the Fantastic Beasts film series tag. Shannon, do you want to start with the outpost?
Yeah, so our first outpost is about Theseus, and it's from Kitty. And Kitty says a lot of stuff. so I'll read it now. Theseus, Scamander, is very interesting to me purely because we know next to nothing about him. I did have many questions about what war he fought, thinking it could even be a Muggle/Wizarding war somewhere other than the US/UK. My theories have been slammed down, though. According to HP Wiki, Theseus participated in the Wizarding effort in World War I and was afterwards considered a war hero. It was also said that Newt's family were, quote, not impressed by his career in magizoology, even though their mother bred hippogriffs. Mm. This could lead to tensions between Newt and Theseus, and I think that they were once very close, but perhaps they became more distant because of Newt's chosen career and the disapproval of his family. I don't think it's possible to determine what house Theseus would be in at Hogwarts, because we really just don't know enough about him. You talked about perhaps Hufflepuff being a family house, but I think that perhaps another house could be dominant in the family, with Newt being the outlier. We again don't know much about his family and which houses they were in, so it's hard to say. I googled Newt's grandson, Rolf Scamander, and found that his house could possibly be Hufflepuff, but it's not confirmed. What I was more interested in was that Rolf was said to be a magizoologist. He becomes chief consulting magizoologist for the Daily Prophet. I think it would be such a cool idea for Newt to pass down his knowledge and views to his children and grandchildren.
Quickly, I wonder, since he's married to Luna, why he didn't work for the Quibbler.
I don't know if she kept the Quibbler around.
Well she should have.
We know canon. the canon's confirmed so far that her dad is still around and he's running the Quibbler.
Okay.
Luna, after marrying Rolf, kind of went, like, gallivanting around the world with him looking for magical beasts. And she's become a little more, I guess, grounded. But she still, you know, she still believes in the fantastic. But she's just a little more, she doesn't take it as personally when she doesn't find things that her and her dad made up. So, I guess, is kind of the... And I think that's the appeal with Rolf, is that he's looking for things that potentially people haven't found.
Oh my god, I'm Luna. With Sasquatch. I didn't even know.
So that's what happened with the two of them.
And I just looked it up. He's confirmed for working for the Daily Prophet. He was confirmed as that during the whole 2014 Quidditch World Cup thing.
Okay.
That she did on Pottermore.
I kind of always, because that was before we got really many snippets of anything. I always took that as canon. And some of the stuff on HP Wiki, I'm not.
Big thing.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about. Like, sometimes I read things on there and I'm like, where did this come from? Like, where did this information come from? So.
The HP Wiki is a little rocky, because if they don't have definitive information, they will use information from non-canon sources, like the trading card games or the video games or, like, even the movies. to fill in gaps. So yeah, it's not always correct. But the stuff from the Quidditch World Cup is confirmed. That the interesting thing about that was where Rita Skeeter referred to Rolf as swarthy, which is a not very nice way to say dark skinned. So there, that I think that kind of shot off the whole thing about casting Newt as a person of color.
I guess since it's one of his grandchildren, like Newt and Tina's, one of their children could. Well, I mean, how many children do we know? How many children they end up having?
I don't know. I don't know if that's confirmed. Do we
know? Yeah, I think so. I think it just says children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh, okay.
I only have the book sitting right here.
Mine's all the way across the room. I can't.
That'll be, we've talked a little bit about this before too, but I'm very interested to see how they treat Newt and Theseus's relationship, because on top of the fact that you've got a great example of really excellent siblings in Tina and Queenie, who like are kind of a part of that lovely new trend of like of female sister Frozen-esque sisters who are like you know, supportive of each other and like very positive characters.
You act like that can't exist.
I don't act like that can't exist. Everybody else is acting like that can't exist.
I know.
But then it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that with Newt, because listeners, if you haven't seen, there's a really great video out there. I can't remember who the YouTuber was, sadly, who did it, but you can look it up by this title. But it's about like Newt's new kind of version of and depiction of masculinity. It's a really great video.
Yeah.
I've had that video saved for so long, and then every time I hit play, I'm like, oh, it's 14 minutes. I don't have time right now. I should just watch it.
Yeah, I finally got around to watching it, and it was really, really good, because it basically just talked about how Newt is not a typical male lead, and that he doesn't like to solve things with aggression and get into conflict. He's he's very soft-spoken. He actually has a lot of kind of traditionally feminine qualities for a stereotypical like a lead. He's a bit so of a good flip-flop with that, yeah. So it would be interesting to see how they deal with, because I think like the brotherly conflict is not a very unusual trope, pretty common. Like, oh, the two brothers who went their different ways. But that could be interesting if you've got a character like Newt who isn't really that confrontational or doesn't enjoy kind of that, and ostensibly Theseus could be that kind of person. They could be total opposites, but I don't know, maybe the whole movie is actually about them having to learn to be brothers again or something. I don't know. This is J.K. Rowling's job, not mine.
The book, by the way, did not mention their children.
Okay.
Well, they have them.
Well, yeah, obviously we know they do, but just it doesn't say anything about their kids, so we know nothing. Guess it could just be one kid.
Well, good. See, she left enough room where she can play with that, I guess. We've got another letter here from somebody very familiar, listeners, especially if you listen to the podcast I'm regularly on, Alohomora. Friend Allison Sigurd.
Hi, yay. Allison.
Yay. Ariel said she wants me to do an Allison impression. I do fair. Like that. The great thing about this, though, is that Allison did write it out the way she talks.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
True.
She started it with, guys!
Yeah. So many who's.
And I know, I can hear her saying it in my head. I don't know if I can hit Allison's tone perfectly.
No, that was pretty good.
but I can hear her kind of saying like, she'd be laughing a lot right now and kind of like saying like, I've basically been yelling at my phone for like 20 minutes.
This is amazing.
That's Allison. I'm not going to read the whole thing like her. I just can't. But on the topic of Theseus, I think only having him in flashbacks would make perfect sense. Because what if he died during the war, and that is why he's considered a hero? It would also explain why Newt seems reluctant to talk about him. If the pain is still fresh, he might be avoiding the subject. Additionally, it would make sense with his namesake. The Greek Theseus was compassionate and intelligent, but he was also a bit reckless. He volunteered himself to be a tribute youth so he could go take on the Minotaur and save the Athenians, a reason I'm thinking Theseus' commander was a Gryffindor, along with the idea that this commander was the river in Troy, where a significant battle took place. Anyway, I find it fascinating that JKR used such a recognizable mythological name for a character. Usually, she's much more subtle, but the story of Theseus and the Minotaur is quite well known. Wait. Wait! Could Theseus have tackled a Minotaur in the wizarding world? Is that how he died? Could Newt have been involved somehow? There's so many question marks here, you guys. Yeah. Really is writing like she talks. Could Theseus be some source of guilt and shame for his younger brother? Anyway, I'll make it on the show someday so I can talk everyone's ear off about Greek mythology and the wizarding world, because that's totally my jam.
Please come on, Allison. I would love that.
Please. Yes. She's been texting me like every time we just like barely can get her on the show, and she's like, oh, I just missed you. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. We'll get you on one day.
Alohomora rating Speak Beastie.
You know, I like, that's true.
Aloha Beastie.
We should do a crossover.
Yes.
Aloha Beastie.
Yep.
Aloha. Sounds like a
Aloha Beastie.
Speak Mora.
Oh.
Speak Mora.
But with exclamation point. Speak Mora!
Open the case.
Oh.
Nice. Nice. But yeah, this is a great comment. This is
interesting.
It would kind of explain, I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say that, like, I mean, there's the only like comment made about him in the movie is they're like, this is Mr. Scamander, and someone's like, the war hero? And it's like, no. And so that doesn't necessarily confirm that he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
He
could be dead. And that would make his surprise that it's the war hero even more interesting, I guess.
And it would also kind of explain why they cast a younger actor to play Theseus, because if he was younger, I mean, you know, younger in the flashback, and then he's no longer around, then you don't need to cast an actor who's older and then make him appear younger back in the day. Like, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I do like how much Allison has gone into the Greek mythology part of this, because I didn't know a lot of this, and I generally don't find out about J.K. Rowling's name meanings and everything until, like, after the fact. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's smart. But for people who have now kind of caught on and, like, what does this name mean? You know, why did she pick this? And for all of this to tie in the way that it does, I think it's very interesting. And it's so much I did not previously know, and I love how Allison is like, wait. And then she just goes off about all of these possible directions that Theseus's story can or could have taken.
Yeah, like, even if he's not dead and we do see him in the present day, I would love for the Minotaur to be a thing.
That would be amazing.
That would be crazy.
I want to see a Minotaur. Yeah. I didn't know I wanted to until now.
I'm curious if that, like, how tied to the original mythology these names might indicate, because I remember that was a big thing with, in the Harry Potter era, that was a big thing with Lupin, because everybody was like, oh, his first name is Remus. Does he have, like, a twin named Romulus?
Yeah.
And Rowling was like, no, No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does have a twin. It's a wolf, and he turns into
he calls his wolf Romulus.
So there's been instances where the name yes. only gives us so much information, mm-hmm. and then she diverges from the original meaning sometimes, yeah. or she doesn't take it to as a complete like retelling of that character's original myth.
Yeah, because I wonder how yeah. often she's been like, this name just sounded nice.
yeah. But at the same time, good. Like, I feel like the evidence is very strong for what Allison said here. I'm totally in agreement that he was a Gryffindor. I would be very surprised if he was another house at this point. I'm curious, too, if this is possibly more about young Theseus with the memories and young Newt. If there's something between him and Newt and Leda, like how the three of them interacted, if that's important, if Theseus was a part of that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I don't want a love triangle. I should just put that out there now. I don't want a love triangle.
No.
But I mean, you know, if Leda is ostensibly in, say, Slytherin, and Newt's in Hufflepuff, and Theseus is a Gryffindor, Theseus might not have looked very favorably upon that friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been a rift.
It's true.
And that's what I always saw it as just a friendship. I don't know. Because it's not that Queenie ever explicitly states, like, they were together, or that they loved each other, or that Newt loved her. It was just
The thing is like, we already know he ends up with Tina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for those people who haven't read the book.
even just showing, like, romance stuff from his childhood, it's kind of like, but I don't care because I know he ends up with Tina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I'm watching it, you know, she says, you need a giver, not a taker. And, like, you know, you can have a toxic friendship like that, you yeah. know, without necessarily knowing it is to that extent. So mm-hmm.
I think the hint about the relationship being romantic actually is projected on to Newt from Tina, because at the end she asks kind of in a way where she's like, does she read? Like, have you talked to her mm-hmm. lately? Are you mm-hmm. involved? Like, she's obviously fishing for info with that mm-hmm. question. So she's yeah. definitely kind of felt like, oh, maybe this was like a romantic thing. So I think that's where that assumption comes from. But yeah, as like Shannon said, if you read the book and you're not one of those people who wrote a dumb article that's like, will they end up together? The movie seems to be hinting at it. Yes, they will. But the
that is the, like, one canon we can stick to from
yeah
the book.
But that, with knowing that, that does kind of erase that tension of will mm-hmm. they won't they, because they will mm-hmm. So, which is funny because we found out recently too about that scene from Yates where there was the demiguise was supposed to have a vision of Newt and Tina, like, and all of the possible branches of their relationship at some point during the Macy's store chase. And I don't know, like, that opens up a whole bunch of questions about their future. And how parallel
timelines. What if Fantastic Beasts is a different timeline?
God.
That's the big twist. That's why nothing ever matches up quite right.
Yeah, that's it. She's leaving us little clues.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. We have uncovered so much. Thank you, Allison. We have uncovered so much from this one comment.
Yes. And now for the final bit from the outpost, where we just get just a little bit of love. It's just, you know, it's nice to get some compliments every now and then.
Love.
So, from April, she says, "Hi guys, just here to let you know what an amazing job you're doing. I'm Argentinian, and I discovered the podcast by chance some months ago. Been listening anytime I got some time off. You are hilarious and smart, and I'm so grateful you're doing this. You know how sometimes everyday life drags you around and you need a little reminder of who you are and where we came from? You are bringing all that back with Harry, although he was never truly gone. Thank you so much. Here are some Argentinian beasts for the Newt case. Excuse me if I butcher this, April. The Lobezon, O Lobezno, is kind of a werewolf. The myth that revolves around was so strong that President Juan Perón had to become the godfather to every boy who had six other older brothers in the country, which is such an interesting little fact. Love you. Greetings from Argentina. And thank you for that, April. That was such a heartwarming, uplifting comment, and it was so unexpected, and you're hilarious and smart, and we're grateful that you're doing this, that you're listening to us, and you're doing an amazing job. Keep listening. Thank you so much. We love you. Oh, gosh. My face is all red.
The short way. Right back at you, April.
She needed to know. I had to tell her. It's just nice.
No, yes, that's always nice to hear. For any work that we do with these podcasts, it's nice to hear something positive. Because most of the time we hear things like, you guys got this wrong. Which is also very helpful. We don't mind that. Because it keeps us honest.
Yeah. When it's not in a snooty tone, you know? I'm like, hey, you made a minor mistake. Maybe just fix it in the future. Not, you're stupid and you got this incorrect and I hate you. Like, that's not the way to go about things. So
it's always nice to hear something like April's comment.
Exactly.
Because the most important thing about for us with podcasting is that you, the listeners, feel like you're getting a good almost dialogue conversation out of this, and it's making you think about new things with Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts, because we're just fans like you. Exactly. You know? So
we're just people.
Yep.
People talking about things we love.
And then you can come to see us at MN Live and you'll see how pretty we are. And then you'll be like, oh, they are, they're just people, but they're like pretty people. No, I'm sorry. I'd speak for myself, not for.
Oh my God.
These lovely ladies.
You are pretty. Stop it. My face is already hot. Quit it. Well. That's it for the Outpost. Now, do we want to do a main discussion?
What are we talking about?
Well, since this episode is coming out on Father's Day here in America, we thought we'd discuss the fathers of Fantastic Beasts.
The fathers of Fabé.
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 One time I accidentally said Facebook, and I was like, that's not what I meant.
That's wrong.
Like, whoops. Yeah. But, I mean, it could be. we kind of figured out there's not a lot of present fathers in the Harry Potter series. And Fantastic Beasts so far is kind of the same. Who's to say it will continue down that route? We don't know. There's a lot that's up in the air, like with Newt's father and Queenie and Tina's father. And there's really no mention of a lot of fathers. Because I was about to just keep going on with the list. I'm like, you know, well, actually, there.
Yeah, that's it.
The only father we really see in the movie is the senator. And that's
right.
Very.
Yeah, that turned out well.
Yeah, it was very minimal screen time. But at the same time, like, that storyline kind of. Yeah. I mean, you saw the movie. So
wasn't a great father.
Yeah. So no. You know, it happens.
At least not to all his sons, both his sons.
Well, all and two. There's something to be said too for not only ignoring your son who probably seems to be a little more on it, but feeding the son who has political sway like really bad morals. Because that young man was not a good man, by the ostensibly. Shaws. Yeah.
But he's dead now, so.
Yeah. One Shaw down, two to go.
That's how that goes.
Just kidding. I'm not trying to kill off characters. That was not my idea. But we did find it interesting how Newt was a father to his beasts. And yeah. As we talked about previously in this episode.
That's the sweetest thing ever.
But we wonder how that would carry into him eventually being a father to human children. Because as a father to his beasts, so he's very loving and caring and puts his beasts above his own needs, as made apparent in the courtroom
I just
scene.
Thought about like calling his children his beasts. He'd probably be happy if people were like, "Could you quiet down your little beasts?" And he'd be like, "Oh yes, yes, absolutely."
Your children are beasts. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. So, yeah.
What a compliment.
I keep them in. I keep them in a case.
What?
Even though he's a bit awkward around people in this first movie, you know, maybe he'll treat his own kids. You know, he learns to love with Tina, and he'll treat his own kids with the same love and respect he had of his beasties. So,
and I think any time when he gets like too awkward with his children, then Tina can just she's there.
Yeah.
So
she knows how to kind of deal with people. So
that's kind of an interesting, like a little bit of a reverse with Harry Potter, because Harry, the ultimate place to have him at, discounting Cursed Child, is that he has a family that he's never had, basically. Harry's story starts with him wanting a family, and by the end he has a huge, wonderful family, and he's very happy with his home life, not kind of Cursed Child. That said, then you've got Fantastic Beasts, and Newt, in looking at him with a family, he doesn't want a family. He has a family of beasts, but he doesn't want a family of people. He doesn't seem to be very interested in human connection. But so his is kind of to learn to value people, to value the family unit, because he does by the end of the first movie. So that'll be interesting to see if that does lead up to understanding why that's important and why he might want to start a family with Tina.
Mm-hmm. And I know they eventually do have, I can't remember which animal, but they said like Newt and Tina have what, the Kneasels? Was that
Kneasels.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, I like Kneasels.
Okay.
It's got a K in front. Let's say it.
Okay.
You want to, well, you know, the coins are pronounced Canute. So there
maybe
you go.
Maybe I'm correct. Who knows? So he does continue to be a parent to his beasts, his pets, and I think pet parents deserve love too.
That is so sweet. Oh God, it's so sweet. Such a lovely
He's
idea.
So
see that, and that goes in tandem with that video about Newt being kind of a reverse of traditional masculinity. He's, you know, dads aren't usually like, dads are kind of frequently portrayed as being very like aloof. And like, let the mom do it because I don't know how to handle this baby. Like, no, dads know what they're doing. Like, and Newt is definitely shown that. Like, he even, you know, with the egg hatching of the Akami, like he, you know, gets it. He talks about how they get attached right away and kind of, oh, this one's yours. Like that's.
Yeah.
He is very much a parent in that way with his animals.
Yeah. So
and his children are running around just casting spells willy nilly, and he's just yelling, "They're not dangerous."
Oh, that'd be so cute. But I,
those kids are gonna have no like sense of don't cast magic in public because he has no sense of that.
Yeah.
Yep, his children will be little beasts.
Yeah. The cute little beast. I couldn't recall if Newt's own father is mentioned in the original Fantastic Beasts. Okay. So that could be something that's addressed in the films. Maybe
I would assume his dad is either dead or left them.
Yeah.
When they were kids. Because it's very much his mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she was the only one I could recall being mentioned.
Yeah.
And I was too lazy to actually flip through the book and find out for myself. I'm gonna
double check real quick. Now I'm like, maybe it says parents somewhere.
Yeah. It just never.
Oh, yeah. His interest in Fabulous Beasts was encouraged by his mother, who was an enthusiastic breeder of fancy hippogriffs.
Okay. So that, yeah.
Except now we also kind of have this information that his parents weren't happy with his choice in career.
But where did that info come from? So I'm kind of, I take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, well, I'm just like, eh.
What we know of his career is that he, like at least from the book, he worked at the Ministry of Magic for a little while, and then someone was like, hey, travel the world and write a book for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea.
I would be a little bit like, honey, just travel the world and write a book? Like, you could do, you had a good thing going at the Ministry of Magic, you know, like the government? They pay well.
Could be.
Yeah, but Mom, I was thought you'd just be a there.
Teacher at Hogwarts, care of magical creatures. My baby, don't go out into the world.
But Mom, I'm gonna go see pretty animals.
Someone has to shield you from the world.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my and God. It's into the woods. What? That's completely different.
Children will listen.
I know, we've crossed over into mothers already. Sorry, fathers.
Well, we didn't talk about mothers. J.K.
Rowling didn't write enough father figures in this series.
Yeah.
She did all her daddy issue stuff in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay because we have animals and Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
I like them.
Yeah. Well, moving on to another kind of father-ish.
I was going to mention something that I thought of a couple minutes ago, and I think now would be the good time. It kind of feels like Dumbledore is going to be a father figure for Newt.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's been hinted at.
Yeah. True. Which definitely also makes sense if Newt's own father wasn't present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was at school and like having problems with his older brother, like Dumbledore would definitely be like, come, let me teach you my ways.
Well, won't that be interesting to see Dumbledore being a father figure to a child that's not on the chopping block?
Yeah.
Newt never, Dumbledore never said to Harry anything like, I had a student like you once. Who I was very fond of.
Well, because Newt's not like Harry.
Yeah, they're not. Newt's not all angsty, so I guess there's a difference.
Wouldn't it be funny if Dumbledore was like trying really aggressively to be like Newt's father figure? Like, yes, I'm going to help this child, but Newt was just like a moody teenager who was like, go away. You're not my real dad.
I wouldn't look at Jude Law and say that. I'd be like, yes, hug me, I'm inconsolable.
That would be really weird. He's a professor.
That makes it even hotter, like, come on.
Oh my
God. I'm just kidding, I'm kidding.
Getting into some fanficky territory here.
If anyone out there writes that fan fiction, do not send it to us.
Oh gosh.
And I will read
it to yourself. Anyway,
yeah, moving on.
Continue now.
Speaking of
fan fictions that I don't read.
Oh god. Yeah.
So because we're, you know, grasping at straws here, Graves, aka Grindy, as a father figure to Credence, was very manipulative, exploited Credence's weaknesses, and was, you know, overall douchey stepdad of the year award. just because we never knew who real Graves was, how he interacted with Credence, when they met, when this whole Grindelwald with Credence thing was going on. Like, I don't know. That whole thing confuses the heck out of me, and I'm still trying to figure out the timeline, but whatever. So I did wonder, like, was real Graves possibly a father? Did he have a family? Did he have anyone?
God, stop making this story so sad.
Well, it's I bet he didn't.
Yeah, but, you know, I just have to ask the question.
Well, it's possible. Well, at least he might, well, not necessarily. His family line has continued on to the modern day.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he was a father. I would like our version of the real Graves would have treated Credence very nicely. Yeah. Dang it.
I think our version of the real Graves is just Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. Well, poor Credence. It's not like he had any real good parental figures in his life anyway. So
here's something: Newt as a father figure to Credence.
Yeah. There's definitely an attempt at that at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
An attempt to reach out. And that, I mean, that's the, I think the, what was perhaps meant to be the twist of the movie is, oh, like, it's not a beast, it's a person. And you have, no, not I'm your father.
Jesus.
What, has someone done that before?
I have something to tell you. I'm so glad I've been looking for you this whole time.
Really, though, who are Credence's real parents? Like, that's still,
I mean, yeah,
a very valid question.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
It's Dumbledore.
Dumbledore would not allow that haircut.
We've been down this road before.
Well, yeah, that because Credence is obviously, like, he's seeking out a parental figure throughout the movie, because he looks for one in Graves, Newt offers, and in a way, Tina offers a parental kind of guiding hand too, and Newt learns from that to in turn practice that. So that's definitely a thing. Obviously Grindelwald is awful at that.
Yeah.
But he's good at pretending.
Is he good at pretending, or was Credence just in a very bad position and would believe anything?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both, because that's the thing too about the, I think that the sense we're supposed to get from Grindelwald is that he's very, he is good at pretending, because he does wrap so many people around his finger, and he seems to apparently be charismatic to some degree.
Yeah.
He's kind of like young Tom Riddle in that way, where he's charismatic, but it's all an act. So yeah, for some reason he knows how to act that way. He knows how to mimic the actions of a fatherly figure, but he's not actually interested in being your dad. He's just a jerk.
I focusing on kind of the main characters of the first movie, we still don't know much about Tina and Queenie's parents. The vision of that Tina had before, you know, that whole death chamber thing, it focused mainly on her mother. So I know there's been speculation. Yeah, I know there's been speculation, like, he may have been nomad born or a nomad. He may have died. He may have just been an absentee father.
I think
the nomad thing comes from her magical congress badge, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was confirmed that both her parents died of whatever it's called.
Dragonpox.
Dragonpox. I think it's confirmed both of them did.
Yeah, Dragonpox in the Wizarding World is like, yeah, they say it in the movie. Queenie says it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She says it in the dinner scene.
Okay.
Yeah, Dragonpox is like is supposed to be like a common ailment for older wizards, and it can be fatal, I guess. And it's been supposed to that's how a lot of that's how Harry's grandparents died was possible. James's parents probably died of Dragonpox.
I guess I just kind of wondered why we see her mother and not her father. Like,
there for like a brief moment. You can see him holding her hand with her mother too. So he's there. Yeah.
Mothers are just more important,
I guess. I mean, not I guess, but like
I say on the day Father's Day.
We're doing a great job celebrating Father's Day here.
Yeah. Well, we picked a series that doesn't exactly have a lot of fathers for some reason. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, Jacob, the only mention of his family at all is his grandma. We don't know. Like, we have no idea about any of his family.
I feel like Jacob's like Dory. Like, he just wandered off from his family one day. they were just like, where did he go?
Yeah. He got distracted.
Yep. He was just like, oh, look, a war. And then he left.
And then, oh, I want to open a bakery. Which was a top-notch idea, let me tell you. I wish any of those pastries could be sold at the Wizarding World because I want all of them. But I'm just very hungry in this moment in time, so my talk of food is inconsequential.
Yeah, every time someone's like, oh, what if there was a Fantastic Beasts ride at the Wizarding World, we can be like, or what if there was a bakery?
Yeah.
Like, it's right there.
But what about food, you know?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I was thinking too with what Shannon had said earlier about different characters being parents. Like, I was trying to think, would Newt have been Jacob's parent? But like, could he have been his dad? But I was like, no, because they're more on equal footing. Because yeah, Newt introduces. Buds. Yeah, they're just buddies. Because Newt introduces Jacob to the Wizarding World and guides him that way. But Jacob guides Newt through his process of learning to interact with others. Because Newt flat out asks him, just like, why do people like you? Nobody likes me.
Yeah.
Just like, well, just be nice.
And that's
just play well with the other kids.
Credence isn't that much younger than Newt. I mean, because they say, like, Credence isn't a child, and Newt's supposed to be, like, in his 20s, like, late 20s. I look that up all the time, and I forget. So they're not that far apart, but it's the interactions make it so that Newt's more of a father figure, or, like, an older brother figure. Uh-huh. Which would also be an interesting comparison, knowing, once you know stuff about Newt's older brother. Which we know very little, as we've talked about.
This one big happy family.
Yeah.
Aww.
Shall we take it to the time turner?
Take it to the bridge.
So for today's time turner, I thought I'd talk about the history of Father's Day, the establishment of Father's Day, and also Mother's Day because they're intertwined a little bit. So I'll just talk about both, starting with Mother's Day because it was established first. And this is in the U.S., because the Father's Day that this episode is coming out on is U.S. Father's Day. I don't know what other countries' Father's Days are. So, in 1868, Anne Jarvis established a committee for, quote, Mother's Friendship Day, with the purpose of reuniting families that had been divided during the Civil War.
Aww.
She died in 1905 before really anything happened with that. And so then her daughter, Anna Jarvis, very original name there, Anna Jarvis continued her mother's efforts to establish a Mother's Day. So the first like real Mother's Day that was celebrated was on May 10th, 1908 in Grafton, West Virginia. And West Virginia declared it an official holiday in 1910. Mother's Day had like a much quicker, smoother transition to becoming a holiday than Father's Day did. So May 8th, 1914, Congress passed a law designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And the next day, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation declaring the first National Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag in honor of those mothers whose sons had died in war. So it's interesting that it was very wrapped up in war when it started. I mean, that makes sense because her mom started it after the Civil War, and then it was established after World Wars. So... unfortunately,
what a
Anna
twist.
Jarvis grew to hate Mother's Day because it became so commercialized and she started to boycott it. She protested at least two events. She protested at a candy makers convention and at a meeting of the organization American War Mothers, where she was actually arrested for disturbing the peace. She was very much like, it's about sentiment and writing handwritten letters to your mother, not buying cards, made cards.
How dare you?
What it's all about. So that's kind of sad. But that's how Mother's Day got established.
You go, Anne Jarvis.
Yeah. Anna Jarvis.
Anna Jarvis.
Anne Jarvis was the mom.
Anna.
Don't get them confused.
Excuse me.
Come on.
Every time you say Jarvis, I'm just thinking of the Jarvie.
Yeah. Maybe it's related. Oh my God. So Father's Day. The first Father's Day was in Fairmont, West Virginia on July 5th, 1908. In response to Mother's Day, which at first I was like, wow, fathers were like, mothers are getting recognition. What about us? Classic men. But then I kept reading and it was actually a much nicer story than that. And I was like, oh, okay, good. So it was Grace Golden Clayton was actually mourning the loss of her father. He died in I should have looked up how to pronounce this. A mining disaster in a place that I can't pronounce, and 361 men died. What did you say, Michael? How did you say it?
Monongah.
Yeah, I guess so. Must be in West Virginia.
Monongah. Hey, West Virginia, help us out here.
The Monongah mining disaster. Just say it with confidence.
Monongah.
So 361 men died and 250 of them were fathers. So there was around 1,000 fatherless children. So Grace Golden Clayton suggested that they hold a Father's Day event to honor all those fathers. So that was actually very nice.
Oh.
It did not like spread immediately as much as Mother's Day did because they didn't really promote it a lot. And it was like the day after the 4th of July. So everybody was wrapped up in the 4th of July. Another Father's Day celebration was held in Spokane, Washington on June 19th, 1910. It was held at the YMCA there by Sonora Smart Dodd, whose father was the Civil War veteran William Jackson Smart, who was a single parent who raised six children. And again, this was kind of in response to Mother's Day. She had a sermon about Mother's Day. And told her pastor that fathers should have a similar holiday. And she initially suggested June 5th, which was her father's birthday, but they didn't have enough time to prepare. So then it was the third Sunday in June. So that was kind of kept up for a while, but then she went to Chicago. She was studying somewhere that I did not write down. And so she kind of stopped promoting it in the 20s. But then she came back to Spokane, Washington in the 30s and started it up again, and it became more and more popular.
Oh.
So as for official recognition, like I said, it took a lot longer than Mother's Day. Mother's Day was officially recognized in 1914 by Congress. So for Father's Day, a bill was introduced to Congress in 1913. Didn't pan out. In 1916, Woodrow Wilson actually spoke at a Father's Day celebration and said he wanted to make it an official recognized holiday, but Congress feared it would be too commercialized. So in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge said it should be observed throughout the nation, but he didn't issue a national proclamation. Congress kept defeating attempts to formally recognize it. In 1957, Maine Senator Margaret Chase Smith wrote a Father's Day proposal accusing Congress of ignoring fathers for 40 years while honoring mothers, thus, quote, singling out just one of our two parents. In 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, designating the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. But it was not until 6 years later that the day was made a permanent holiday by President Richard Nixon in 1972. Mm. So it took a long time.
Good job, Richard Nixon. That's the one thing you have.
Father's Day. It's not even really yours. They were trying to do it for like 70 years.
He just took all the credit.
So well, yeah, that's Mother's Day and Father's Day.
So Newt wouldn't be probably celebrating Father's Day anyway.
Yeah. But Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, this is just the U.S., not the U.K. history.
Well, maybe Tina taught him about Mother's Day, and now every Mother's Day, he sends his mom a picture of a hippogriff that he's come across.
Yeah.
In his travels.
And a handwritten letter. Yeah. He would, though. He would write a handwritten letter.
Well, he would. Wizards only write handwritten letters.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Although, he would write it without having, like, using, like, an enchanted quill to do it for him.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't dictate to the quill. He would,
but I don't know how like how sappy of a letter it would be. He'd be like, "Hey, mom, just saw a new beast. It was really cool."
I bet like if a teenager like away at summer camp.
I feel like yeah. if he was inspired by his mother, he would probably write very affectionate letters to her, telling her of his travels. That would be really
especially. Sweet. If, like, his brother's gone and their father's gone in some way and they're the only family that they both have, they'd probably be really close.
Yeah, see, maybe Theseus is going to come back in the movie and he'll just be like, you know, you could write to mom every once in a while. Be nice.
I bet I would not be surprised if that was a line.
She knows you dictate to your quill. You don't handwrite your letters.
I'm imagining this while they're like dueling each other because they just are mad at each other for whatever reason, and it's like, well, you don't write, mom. Take that back.
And then Theseus says something about their horrible father, and that's the mention of fathers.
Yeah, great. There you go. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Well,
including the pet fathers.
Yes.
Yes. So let's open the new case.
Yeah, let's see what's in there. Is it something nice and sweet for Father's Day?
No.
Well, it is a father.
Yes.
Of many.
Another case of a terrible father in the Harry Potter world. Let's
hear
about it.
Hey, though. If you look at it this way, he's a great father.
Because you're right. He's just not great to
He's a great family provider.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about Ackerman Chulas today. We may be referencing Aragog here, listeners.
Yeah.
The father of many.
Man.
So Ackerman Chulas, and you'll see, listeners, the reason why I wanted to talk about these guys. But they are Ministry of Magic classification, obviously quadruple X. But Harry and Ron, if you have the additions where they wrote in, saw fit to add in 9 more X's. So they took it to 14. Yeah. No, fair. The Akramantula originated apparently in Borneo, which is a large Asian island. They are obviously giant spiders.
I don't like it.
With a leg span of about 15 feet. And we were ever so lucky to have just met Aragog. Of course, he references his wife, Mosag, but she was probably larger than him, because traditionally female spiders in the Akramantula family are larger than males.
Can I just interject real quickly?
Yes. Oh, yes, please.
Sorry. What I love...
She's like, there's a spider crawling on me right now.
Nah, no. I would never be so chill.
Can I just interject really quickly? I'm being bitten by a Akramantula and I'm dying, just so you guys know.
Yeah. No. I just like how... with humans, like, it's frowned upon if the female's larger than the male, but, like, in most animal species, it's, like, expected almost. Mm-hmm. Like, people aren't like, you're taller than your boyfriend, and it's like, that's a stupid thing to judge love on, but sure. And that's not my situation or anything, but just, like, you know.
I wanted to interject with the fact that this giant lady spider and all of her children are still out there somewhere.
Yes, ostensibly. Well, and Aragog had so many children because the female may lay up to 100 eggs at a time. So
that's not nice. They shouldn't.
Aragog was working on some kind of like secret takeover of the Hogwarts grounds, I guess.
Oh my god. Well, they, like, we defeat Voldemort, and they're like, yes, guys, we did it. And then the spiders all come out of the forest and are like, we've been waiting until you were weak.
It's actually kind of surprising that didn't happen, because the Akramantula sided with Voldemort during the Battle of Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. So they... That's why you can't trust spiders. They're trouble.
Just trouble, evil, man. To the core.
Trouble.
Their eggs... Those hundreds of eggs are Class A non-tradable goods. Don't be selling those things around. You know, like whoever, we'll talk about this, but whoever gave Hagrid that egg. They are believed to have been wizard bred, as evidenced by the fact that they just know how to speak human speech. They should not know how to do that, apparently. That's a rule in Rowling's world, according to Fantastic Beasts, that beasts don't just learn how to speak. Apparently, except for the Jarvie, but the Jarvie doesn't really count because it just yells obscenities, so it's kind of like a parrot. A really badly behaved parrot. But they're believed to have been intended to have been guards for wizard dwellings and treasure, ostensibly back before the Alohomora. Or when the Alohomora spell was invented. Maybe people were like, uh-oh, now everybody can get in my house. Better get a giant spider to guard the door. The logic is astounding.
I mean, I would not go into that house. So.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, maybe I need a giant spider in front of my door.
No, I wouldn't go into that house either if it were my own house. I'd be like, well, I don't live here anymore.
No, I'm already in the house.
But what do you do when you leave? Why do you never leave?
I don't want to leave.
No, right. She's going to ostensibly train
you guys. You guys are in here in the computer. So
you got to eat sometime, Shannon.
It's like, no, there's a spider in my house. I guess I'll just move.
Your poor pizza delivery guy.
I get all my food
delivery instructions. Watch out for giant spiders.
the first sighting of an Akramantula, which must have been terrifying.
Oh my god!
Was 1794. Yes, the person managed to tell somebody they saw it, and then they immediately
that's the first one we just know about. All the other ones, they were like, "No, I'm dying because of this."
Yeah, I mean that's true.
Yeah,
of course, wizards were probably just like, oh, you know, giant spider, just another day.
Typical.
But
Australians.
They did prove to be a little outmatched by Acromantulas because they're one of the many reasons why they have the quadruple X rating from the ministry is they cannot be trained. as no matter how hard somebody like Hagrid may try. And
because they're too intelligent.
Fun fact, if you want the closest thing we've got to an Aragog, you can go seek it out for yourself a Goliath bird-eating tarantula or a giant huntsman spider.
Yeah. I will not do that.
Yeah.
Mark those down as not to ever see in my entire life.
Those spiders can grow to about a foot in length. The giant huntsman can get about a foot in length just with leg span.
If any of our listeners see either of these giant spiders, then I'm sorry that you died so young, and but thank you for listening to our show.
You may really be looking at a baby Acromantula. To see if it can talk, I guess. But I wanted to bring up the Acromantula because there's been so much talk, even just on this episode, about the past, especially with the news of casting the younger characters, and the Hogwarts days of Newt and this and that and the other. And I was thinking about the past in terms of Harry Potter and Hagrid having mentioned this has been latched on to a lot already, but the whole thing of Aragog revealing that he came to Hagrid in the pocket of a traveler. And I was just wondering if we might see an Acromantula.
That would be interesting.
If not baby Aragog himself in his little egg.
I would hope.
No, we will not.
No. I would hope that Newt Scamander is not so reckless as to give a, 13-year-old an Acromantula. But I just don't know.
Maybe he sees something in Hagrid.
I'm sure he sees something in Hagrid, but, I don't trust that.
I know.
Well, and, ostensibly Newt has to have come into contact with Acromantulas to have written about them. So.
Oh, God. Now I'm like, I up until this moment, I was like, man, I love Newt's case. I'd love to go in there. And now I'm like, nope. Never know what's in there.
Nope. It's covered in spiders.
Nope. There's a whole little room of them. Just know it.
Maybe before he knew a lot about them, he had, set up a space for an Acromantula, and then he started to interact with it proper, and he's like, this thing's going to strangle me in my sleep.
Yeah, it started to be my kids are really hungry. And he was like, bah! Dear mom, today I met a giant spider. I don't think it went well, but I'm okay. Bye!
I really
this is my new series,
I gave him
letters from Newt.
I gave him to some kid. that I ran into at Hogwarts. I think he'll take
I saw
care
something
of him.
In him. So Newt as
I saw
father,
a high tolerance
Hagrid
for the
check.
Insane, so I gave it to him. But yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
The past collides, and maybe we will see the past a little more of that era, since there's so much obviously being tied in with Dumbledore and Grindelwald, and we know that the timeline crisscrosses with a little bit with Riddle, just a smidge. So maybe the Acromantulas will make an appearance. How could you not resist putting another giant spider in your movie?
I don't think I've ever watched that scene.
Me neither.
Without my hands mostly covering my eyes.
No, yeah.
Not even joking. I've seen Chamber of Secrets so many times, too, and yet I'm like, no, not this part.
And Forbidden Journey.
Oh my god!
I had to look up beforehand. I was like, no, I need to know. Because I knew there were going to be spiders in it. So I looked up beforehand, like, the exact, like, plot of the ride. Oh. So that I could close my eyes at the right moment. And that's when they take your picture in the spider part. So there's a lot of funny pictures of me.
With your eyes closed.
F that ride. It makes me feel awful because, like, you know, all the ways it turns and everything. Like, that's not what I should be doing with my health issues. But also, like, okay, let's scar me emotionally, too, with the spiders and the Dementors. Like, just, oh my gosh, it's too much. I can't. Oh, yeah. I think I've been on it twice, and I'm like, that's it for me for the rest of my life. I'm good.
Well, you know, see, you're fine, though, because you know the spell. The movie spell, right? No? Nobody?
Wait, what?
The movie spell to get rid of spiders.
What are you talking about?
Aranya Exume.
Right.
Oh.
Like, I'm pretty sure it means something along the lines of go away, spider.
Yeah. Because Aranya.
Exume.
Exume. Yeah. It'd be exit. Spider.
Spider exit. Spiders, this way.
Please exit.
Or you know what you need to do? You gotta get a basilisk. Because they hate basilisks.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I'll have the basilisk in front of me.
I just am wrapped around neither. Him. I'm never going to your house, Shannon.
Okay. You're in the computer.
It's okay, Shannon doesn't want visitors anyway.
Gosh.
So we step out of the new case, we lock that back up because there's a giant spider in there, and
yeah
okay, never going back in that new case.
New case is done.
Sorry Newt. And we end this episode the podcast question that we wish to throw out to you, the listeners. With the little we know about Theseus, we examined the possibilities of the relationship between him and Newt and how that will play into the larger narrative of Fantastic Beasts. So we're throwing it to you, the listeners, now to examine how will that relationship go? We know very little about Theseus. We think he's a Gryffindor. He's a war hero. As Allison put forth, is he even alive?
Wait.
Like,
guys.
Has he
wait.
What?
Guys.
I love you, Allison.
So, examine that for us, listeners. Give us your thoughts on how Theseus plays in to this story, especially in relation to Newt.
Mm.
Oh, and we'd greatly appreciate it if y'all could visit http://survey.libsyn.com/speakbeastie to do a quick survey for us. Who doesn't like a survey? Would you like to take a survey? That's a joke from the 90s.
What was that? Oh, okay.
If you watched Animaniacs, you'd know. And of course,
oh yeah, this is a really short survey. It's really easy, guys.
Shannon can vouch for it.
Is there a prize at the end?
I don't know, because I'm not filling it out and hitting complete survey.
The prize is us being grateful.
Yeah.
Our appreciation.
We just want to know your name, your age, your marital status,
wow.
Your
spoiler,
yeah, your social security number, where you live,
because we love you.
Yeah.
And we always love to hear from you, listeners. You can send us an owl on any of our social media outlets, or you can email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And we'd love if you would leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. It really helps us to make this show even better, and it helps to ensure that new listeners coming onto the show know what it's all about.
So, social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, Tumblr at SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com. You can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. That would be great. We also have a website, speakbeastie.com. It's almost like everything is Speak Beastie.
It's almost like
Tumblr,
we planned. Yeah. Speak Beastie podcast.
And don't forget, if you want to join us at MuggleNet Live, to visit MuggleNetLive.com and get your tickets. It's going to be awesome.
We'll be there. Maybe if you catch us in the leaky cauldron, we'd love to share a butterbeer with
you. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sharing my butterbeer. You get your own butterbeer.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean.
And I'll share my time with you.
Yes. We would love to spend some time with you at the Wizarding World.
Yeah.
It's going to be
We're
so
basically
fun.
Joey Tribbiani of food. We don't share. But we'll eat with you.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ariel. Case closed.
Oh my God. Ch-ch-ch.